Why not? You're so freaking sure I can't do it. Why not bet a month's pay? I'll put 5 months' worth of mine in the escrow account, so you'll each be covered. A month's pay. In the end, they had agreed to it. Pancho knew they'd figured she'd chicken out after 20-30 seconds, and they'd have her money without her killing herself. She figured otherwise. So she used the galley phone to call her bank in Lubbock. A few taps on the phone's touch-tone keypad, and she had set up a new account and dumped 5 months' pay into it. All five of the other jocks watched the phone's tiny screen to make certain Pancho wasn't playing any tricks. Then each of them in turn called their banks and deposited a month's pay into Pancho's new account. Pancho listened to the sing-song of the phone's tones as she laid her plans for the coming challenge. Pancho suggested they use the airlock down at the far end of the maintenance module. "We don't want some science geek popping in on us and getting so torqued he punches the safety alarm," she said. They all agreed easily. So they floated through the two lab modules and the shabby-looking habitat module where the long-term researchers were housed, and finally made it to the cavernous maintenance unit. There, by the airlock, Pancho chose a spacesuit from the half-dozen standard models lined up against the bulkhead, size large because of her height. She quickly wriggled into it. They even helped her put on the boots and check out the suit systems. Pancho pulled the helmet over her head and clicked the next seal shut. "Okay," she said through the helmet's open visor. "Who's going to time me?" "I will," said one of the guys, raising his forearm to show an elaborate digital wristwatch. "You go in the lock," said the man beside him, "pump it down and open the outside hatch." "And you watch me through the port," Pancho said, tapping the thick round window on the airlock's inner hatch with gloved knuckles. "Check. When I say go, you open your visor. And I'll time you," said the guy with the fancy wristwatch. Pancho nodded inside her helmet. Amanda looked concerned. "Are you absolutely certain that you want to go through with this? You could kill yourself, Pancho."
"She can't back out now."
"Not unless she wants to forfeit 5 months' pay." "But seriously," Amanda said, "I'm willing to call off the bet. After all..." Pancho reached out and tousled her curly blonde hair.
"Don't sweat it, Mandy."
With that, she stepped through the open airlock hatch and slid down her visor. She waved to them as they swung the hatch shut. She heard the pumps start to clatter. The sound quickly dwindled as the air was sucked out of the metal-walled chamber. When the telltale light by the inner hatch turned red, Pancho touched the button that slid the outer hatch open. For a moment, she forgot what she was up to as she drank in the overwhelming beauty of the earth spread out before her dazzled eyes. Brilliantly bright, intensely blue oceans and enormous sweeps of clouds, so white it almost hurt to look upon them. It was glorious. An overwhelming panorama that never failed to make her heart beat faster.
"You've got work to do, girl," she reminded herself sternly.
Turning to the inner hatch, she could see all five of their faces clustered around the little circular port. None of them had the sense to find a radio, Pancho knew, so she gestured to her sealed helmet visor with a gloved finger. They all nodded vigorously, and the guy with the fancy wristwatch held it up where Pancho could see it. The others backed away from the port while the guy stared hard at his wristwatch. He held up four fingers, then three. Counting down, Pancho understood. 2, 1. He jabbed a finger like a make-believe pistol at Pancho, the signal that she was to lift her visor now. Instead, Pancho launched herself out the airlock into empty space.
La Guaira. Martin Humphreys looked irked. "What's so funny about the asteroid belt?" Dan shook his head. "Not funny, really, just... I didn't expect that from you. You've got a reputation for being a hard-headed businessman." "I'd like to believe that I am," Humphreys said. "Then forget about the belt," Dan snapped. "Been there, done that. It's too far away. The costs would outweigh the profits by a ton." "It's been done," Humphreys insisted. "Once," said Dan, "by that nutcase gun, and he damn near got himself killed doing it. But that one asteroid was worth close to $1 trillion once it got it into lunar orbit." "Yeah, And the double-damned GEC took control of it and bankrupted Gunn. That won't happen this time. Why not? You don't think the GEC would seize any resources we bring to Earth? That's the reason the Global Economic Council was created, to control the whole twirling Earth's international trade. Humphreys smiled coldly. I can handle the GEC. Trust me on that one. Dan stared at the younger man for a long, hard moment. Finally, he shook his head and replied, It doesn't matter. I'd even be willing to let the GEC run the show. You would? Hell yes! We're in a global emergency now. Somebody has to allocate resources, control prices, see to it that nobody takes advantage of this crisis to line his own pockets. I suppose so, Humphrey said slowly. Still, I'm convinced there's a lot of money to be made by mining the belt. Nodding, Dan agreed. There's a lot of resources out there, that's for sure. Heavy metals, organics, resources we can't get from the moon. Resources that the Earth needs, and the GEC would be willing to pay for. Mining the asteroids, Dan mused. That's a major undertaking. A major undertaking. That's why I'm here. Astro Manufacturing has the resources to do it. Astro Manufacturing is just about broke, and you know it. I wasn't talking about financial resources, Humphrey said, waving a hand in the air almost carelessly. Oh, no? No. Pointing a finger toward the window and the storm-battered launch facility outside, Humphrey said, You've got the technological know-how, the teams of trained personnel, the rockets and infrastructure to get us into space. And it's bleeding me white because there's less and less of a market for launch services. Nobody can afford to buy electronics manufactured on the moon, not when they're being driven from their homes by floods and earthquakes. Humphrey's brows rose questioningly. I know, Dan said. There's the energy market, sure. But how many solar power satellites can we park in orbit? The double-damned GEC just put a cap on them. We're building the next-to-last one now. After those two, no more power sats. Before Humphreys could ask why, Dan continued, the goddamn Greater Asia Power Consortium complained about the power sats undercutting their prices, and the double-damned Europeans sided with them. Serve them all right if they freeze their asses off when the Gulf Stream breaks up. The Gulf Stream? Humphreys looked startled. Dan nodded unhappily. That's one of the projections. The greenhouse warming is already changing ocean currents. When the Gulf Stream breaks up, Europe goes into the deep freeze. England's weather will be the same as Labrador's. When? How soon? 20 years, maybe? Maybe 100. Ask 5 different scientists and you get 12 different answers. That's a real opportunity, Humphreys mused. Winterizing all of Europe. Think of it. What an opportunity. Funny, Dan retorted. I was thinking of it as a disaster. You see the glass half empty. To me, it's half full. Dan had a sudden urge to throw this young opportunist out of his office. Instead, he slumped back in his chair and muttered, It's like a sick Greek tragedy. Global warming is going to put Europe in the deep freezer. Talk about ironic. We were talking about the energy market, Humphreys said, regaining his composure. What about the lunar helium-3? Dan wondered if his visitor was merely trying to pump him. Warily, he answered, barely holding its own. There's not that many fusion power plants up and running yet. Thanks to the knee-jerk anti-nuke idiots. Digging helium-3 out of the lunar regolith ain't cheap. 50 parts per million sounds good to a chemist, maybe, but it doesn't lead to a high profit ratio, let me tell you. So, you'd need an injection of capital to start mining the asteroids, Humphrey said. The transfusion.